Lord, we'll be reading in Nehemiah chapter 3, verses 1 through 12. Where's St. Brendan going? Every time I look at him, I think of Holy St. Brendan. That's all right. And I've got my eye on you too, buddy. Don't worry. You. All right. All right, we'll pray. Lord, we thank you for your goodness to us. We just praise your name, Lord, and thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your goodness, Lord. You are so good. We thank you for your presence here this day. Lord, we want to proclaim your word. We want to be prepared for what's coming. We thank you. Let's worship you, Lord. We pray everyone on these grounds today will be received something from Jesus that will help him or her, and I thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. We're in Nehemiah 3. We're going to read verses 1 through 12. Eliashib, the high priest, and his fellow priests went to work and rebuilt the sheep gate. They dedicated it and set its doors and plates, building as far as the Tower of the Hundred, which they dedicated, and as far as the Tower of Hananel. The men of Jericho built the adjoining section, and Zachar, son of Imri, built next to them. The fish gate was rebuilt by the sons of Hasmea. They laid its beams and put its doors and bolts and bars in place. Miramah, son of Uriah, the son of Hakkaz, repaired the next section. Next to him, Meshullam, son of Berechiah, the son of Meshesabel, made repairs, and next to him, Zadok, son of Hanan, also made repairs. The next section was repaired by the men of Tekoa, but their nobles would not put their shoulders to the work under their supervisors. The Jeshanah gate was repaired by Joiada, son of Paseah, and Meshullam, son of Besodiah. They laid its beams and put its doors and bolts and bars in place. Next to them, repairs were made by men from Gibeon and Mizpah, Melatiah of Gibeon, and Jadon of Meramoth, places under the authority of the governor of Trans-Euphrates. Ziel, son of Harhiah, one of the goldsmiths, repaired the next section, and Hananiah, one of the perfume makers, made repairs next to that. They restored Jerusalem as far as the broad wall. Raphaiah, son of Hur, ruler of a half-district of Jerusalem, repaired the next section. Adjoining this, Jediah, son of Harumpha, made repairs opposite his house, and Hattush, son of Hashabneah, made repairs next to him. Melchijah, son of Harim, and Hasib, son of Pahath Moab, repaired another section and the Tower of the Ovens. Shalom, son of Halashesh, ruler of a half-district of Jerusalem, repaired the next section with the help of his daughters. You know, it's amazing. At this time, there were millions of people in India and in China. And, of course, up in the British Isles, they were Druids. And I don't know what they were doing up in there. But there was a lot of people in Europe. The kingdoms of the Tartars and others. And yet, in God's word, we have all these individuals mentioned. You ever think about that? All the millions of people in the world, and these people get their name in the book that endures. And it tells us that God is interested in individuals. God is interested in individuals. He's interested in you just as much as he is all these people who are named. He knows. That stood out to me as I was reading it. Well, I know what I want to preach this morning. I know what the burden is, and I just pray the Holy Spirit will help me to get it clear. Because of the media, we pay a lot of attention to the Democrats and the Republicans, the Muslims, the liberals, the conservatives, and people, Christians, get exercised with these. Now look what they did. Now look what the liberals did. Now look what the Democrats did. Now look what the followers of Michael Jackson did. And now look at all the rock and rollers from Elvis Presley on to Madonna. Look at all they did. And look at this. You know what? We need to forget that. Come on. I'll tell you why. That's not where the action is. The action occurs where we cannot see. The action occurs with God and Satan and what God is doing. And all these other things, if you get wrapped up in them, you're missing it. Where it's going on at our government level and all government levels and everything is God who is allowing things to happen that will result in the bringing in of his kingdom. Remember, Jesus said, all these are the birth pangs. Well, when there's birth pangs, something's going to be born. And what's born is the kingdom of God. That's what God is after. It's a kingdom that will rule in the earth. You say, well, I don't see how he's doing that with all these liberals running around. It has nothing to do with anything. If our eyes were open and we could see what's going on, the warfare in the spirit realm, we would realize that it's vain to puff and blow about the Democrats and the liberals and Elvis Presley and everything. It has nothing to do with anything. It's, as Paul said, our warfare is not against the flesh. It's not where the action is. And so I just felt a word of encouragement to us this morning. If the paper bothers you too much, throw it out, wrap your fish in it, or do something, because that's not where truth is. Truth is in the spirit world. And, of course, our culture is not a meditative culture, and so we tend to live in action and in the flesh and in money and in all these things. And we don't see what's going on. So as Christians, as Bill said, we hang on by the skin of our teeth because we're trying to understand what's going on and react to it in some reasonable way. And that's not the route to take to victory. So if you'll notice these gates, I won't get into each gate today and what it means. But if you go up on the WR site and go to the library and go down to the Temple of God, the book, The Temple of God, there's one whole chapter toward the end that takes each one of these gates and talks about it. Because you see, where we are now is where Nehemiah was and where Eli, the wall of Jerusalem, the wall against sin, has been broken down because of false doctrine, and the gates have been burned with fire so that the enemy can just come in and do whatever he wants to people. And so God is saying, and I'm not the only one that's saying it, it is time for a reformation. More than a revival, we had a great revival in the Four Square under Amy Semple McPherson, and there's no telling how many people were saved and everything, but there was no reformation. See, there was nothing that changed fundamentally in what Christianity is and what it preaches. So if we had a revival and 10,000 people came, that's not what God is after. What he's after is a reformation, because we are in the time when God and Satan are coming up to a climax in the contest between good and evil. And we don't see the church as God's weapon against evil. We don't see the church that way. We read verses like, endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. And, of course, we say that's right, and we should put up with irritations and inconveniences. But we don't see the good soldier part. It doesn't make any sense. That's because we conceive of Christianity as a religion. And Christianity is God's weapon to confront evil. It is not a religion that we come and sing our songs and do our liturgies and preach and evangelize and everything. That's not what Christianity is. Christianity is God's weapon because there was a rebellion in heaven and evil filled the spiritual atmosphere. We're still fighting it. But we don't see that. What we see, of course, is our daily lives and how we go to church and how that affects us and how it affects our children. That's not a proper viewpoint of what is going on. What is going on is the conflict between good and evil, between truth and the lie. And it's coming to a climax now. It's coming to a climax now. And so God is talking about a restoration, a reformation, so that we will not just survive the days that are coming, but we will be victorious. And finally, Satan will be hurled to the earth. I think that's begun now, and he's taken a lot of people with him. As you'll notice, the weapon that he is using is sexual lust. And if you look at the senators and the preachers and other people that are being destroyed because our minds are on things like the economy, Social Security. See, that's not where it is. It's on the fact that the people are falling through sexual lust. That must be 95% of the activity of demons today in America. The rest of it is divided among hatred and murder and envy and jealousy and covetousness. But the big bulk today, and you watch it because it's increasing at enormous rate, is sexual lust and pornography on cell phones and the media. And in fact, I don't want to say the name of the TV station because I might be incorrect and I don't want to give them a bad name, but there's one of the major TV stations is running whatever they call them, a program about pornography. And what they're saying is, what's wrong with it? It ought to be a legitimate activity of people. I'm not talking about something down in a corner. I'm talking about millions of people are beginning to say, what's wrong with it? So this, we care about our young warriors. We care about children that we're bringing in to the next world, the new world that's upon us, America of the 21st century. We care about our children. Their problem is not in the economy. It's not in Social Security. It's in lust. That's where they will be destroyed. And while we're looking in this direction, Satan is moving in this direction. Now, we've got to become conscious of the fact that the problem is not Democrats and Republicans or who's president, because it doesn't matter. That is not where the action is. The action is in your front room and your bedroom. That's where the action is. Not in Washington, D.C. And it's classic military strategy. Classic. To exercise a feint, to pretend that the battle is one place when it's another. and see the Christian people are up in arms about what Obama's doing. What Obama's doing has nothing to do with anything. What it has to do with is spirits that are attacking your household. You've got to watch it, because none of us are that safe. None of us. And I put myself at the head of the list. I tell you, I fear and I tremble when I see what is going on in the spirit world. Now, if you'll notice in the gates, and as I say, each one of these is symbolic, and these are the things that must be restored. But you notice that because it's a time for rebuilding the church, because the only thing that can stand against the evil that's coming is the church. The government can't stand about it. The Republicans don't know where they are. And the Democrats know where they are, but the Republicans don't know where they are because they don't have a theme. It's you can't go back to the old America. People won't put up with that. So they're kind of floundering for some kind of a theme. And I'm not into politics, and I don't know square one about politics, and I don't care square one about politics. What I care about is God and His will and His church. And the church is the only instrument that really has significance in this century. But it's in shambles. It's an actual shambles. Man, the things that are preached, you cannot believe that because they're so far from the Bible. Well, I have no time to worry about that. If you'll notice, this third chapter of Nehemiah is the path to reformation. These gates must be built. Why? Because there's no other instrument that can stand against evil. Not because we'll have more people in the congregation, but because this is civilization. Our whole world depends on the church. There's no other agency, political, financial, in business, or anything else, military, that can do a thing. It's the church and the church alone that God has planted as an instrument to combat evil and show the way of righteousness. It's the church. And that has to be done spiritually. It can't be done as we make up our mind to keep the Ten Commandments or something. It has to be done as we find our own relationship with Jesus and walk in obedience and forget the rest of this stuff. It doesn't matter. It's nothing. It's because we're not seeing what's going on. We're only seeing the results of it. And we attack the results. It doesn't do any good. All right. Now, if you'll notice, the first gate is what? The sheep gate. And if you'll notice, the next major gate in verse 3 is the fish gate. Now, the problem is the Christians are being told we need to go out and get souls saved. That comes after you build the sheep gate. After that comes the fish. And that's what Jesus said. When you're one, then the world will believe. We got the cart before the horse. We're trying to get fish in when the church is in a shambles. The fish cannot resist the actions of the enemy. It's the sheep. Does that make sense to you? I hope that it does. And I don't think I'll continue any more in the third chapter of Nehemiah. As I said, it's that all these gates and everything are set forth in the temple of God. You can find it in the WR site in the library of books there. Every time I look at it, the gates and bars and put the doors and bolts and bars and places, and there's so many different agencies that have to operate there, building up the gates of the wall of Jerusalem. And so there's a place for everybody, and there's a place for you. It's not a place of religious liturgy. It's doors and bolts and bars. That means the resistance against that which is evil. This is the only solution to what's coming down in America. We're going to see a lot of bloodshed. All the prophets are saying the same thing. We're coming into enormous times. And so you're not going to find any safety in the economy or in the politics or anything else. You're going to find it in your own home with your own children. It's not going to be a universal thing. It's going to be you and your children who have got to hear from Jesus, or you're going to be swept up like so much garbage. I mean, these are enormous forces that are confronting each other. We don't see it. All we see is the president telling the Jews they've got to give away the West Bank, which would make them militarily without a way to stand on. They'd be squeezed in between that and the Mediterranean Sea. We see all these things and we fret. But it isn't Mr. Obama or anything else. It's angels and other things that are operating, that are doing this to destroy Israel. And it isn't going to be solved by people joining hand in hand. It's going to be only solved as individuals hear from God. That's the only possible way. We have to have Christ. It isn't going to work any other way. All right, now I may jump around a little bit. I'm trying to keep my mind and my spirit on what God is saying to you so you get something helpful. Let's turn to Revelation 12. This is a lot of where the action is now. The sheep gate has to be built. That's the church. And it can only be built by the gifts and ministries. I don't know how God is going to do it. I have no idea, and I'm not going to try to do it myself. I just know that God has got to build up the individual Christians, because there is a one in a carload. You get a church full of, you may have 5,000 people, Christians, attending church, and they're not Christians. How can you say that? Because a Christian is someone who denies himself, takes up his cross, and follows Christ. That's the only definition of a Christian. And how many are there that you know that deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow Jesus? If you don't do that, you're not a Christian. You see the mess that is in by telling people about prosperity and how they can have a better life and all this. That isn't a Christian. A Christian is someone who denies himself, takes up his cross, and follows Jesus. And if you can find five in a church of 10,000 people, you're doing good. The rest of them don't have a clue because they haven't been taught. It isn't because they're bad. Nobody taught them, teached them. All right. Now, in Revelation 12, you see something very significant. You see that the bride here, the woman clothed with the sun, and the dragon, Satan, are both in the heavens. Not in heaven with a capital H, but in the heavens. In the heavens. Ho Uranos. Not heaven with a capital H. They're in the spirit world. Okay. Well, they've always been there. Why now? Because of something. If you look down, it says where it says they overcame him. Where is it? The accuser of our brothers who accuse him. Somewhere says, oh yes, verse 11. They overcame him. They overcame him. That's what's going on now. And that is what is triggering the spiritual uproar. There are people worldwide who are actually overcoming Satan by the word of their testimony. That is, they don't testify of defeat or anything else. They testify what the Bible says. Oh, God says he take care of me. I'm taken care of. There's nothing out there. They testify to the truth. They trust in the blood of the Lamb, and they have already given up their lives. They figure it's over. It's not what I'm living for, it's my life. There are people like that worldwide, and that is shaking Satan in the heavens. And he's going to be cast into the earth, if you can imagine what that will be like. when Satan's here. But the frightening part is that his tail is pulling down some of those that have been at God's right hand, some of the host, who felt we could never be taken down. Listen, in our lifetime, we've seen ministers, highly placed ministries, brought down. At one time, they were in Christ at the right hand of God. They're not any longer. They've been brought down to the earth. And that's in Daniel 8, 9. I preached that before, but that's much on my mind because that's going on now. See, the problem is that we feel too secure. We feel it never could happen to me. Let me tell you, there's no one in this room that is that secure. Why? Because Satan all the time is checking out your character and looking for a spot where he can lead you astray. That goes on continually, night and day. That's why I tell people when you're at a party or something, there's never any time to let down your guard, because it's just that's just what Satan is looking for, is foolishness or immorality. You'll do some foolish sexual thing, or become angry and hurt someone. You had no intention of doing that. You'll see it in the paper all the time. Here's a man, him and his wife go on a cruise for a vacation. By the time he come back, he strangled his wife to death. Now, last week, he didn't mean to do that. It's because you can't afford for one moment to lose control of what you're doing, because Satan is always there, waiting, watching. That's what I say, reading the paper and worrying about the economy. Satan would love to have you do that. Where he is watching you to see if there is a weakness in your armor somewhere so he can get in and deceive you. Christians say they never could be deceived. They're already deceived when they say that. All right. Now, if you'll notice in here, Daniel 8, 9, I don't know about all these horns. All I know is they represent evil. They represent evil. And out of one of them came another horn which started small but grew in power to the south and to the east and toward the beautiful land. It grew until it reached the host of the heavens. Look at it. This idea of God giving Antichrist and Satan great authority in the end time appears throughout the Bible. There's several passages, at least seven, divided between the Old Testament and the New. We are living in that day. You say, but God wouldn't do that. See, we don't know God. We've had talk in this church for about a year, and it's very valuable. It's that we don't know God. See, we've got a picture of God, and it's not true. You know, the Bible says, pray, lead us not into temptation. But we say God never would lead us into temptation. He led David into temptation. It says so. It says in the Bible he provoked David to number Israel. God is not like we think. We think of him as a kindly grandfather. He's not. He's a spirit that requires blood to be satisfied. The shedding of blood to be satisfied. That's not what we picture, how we picture God. It's like our grandfather. He's not that. He's a spirit. And we have to go by the Bible. That's the only way we know what is true, not what we assume. A lady sent me a writing and an email from someone named Nita Johnson. I don't know Nita Johnson. Some of you may know Nita Johnson. I suppose June knows Nita Johnson. Well, I don't. But anyway, what she had to say really stunned me. She said that the evil, I don't know whether demons or angels or whatever they are, Paul calls them principalities, are deriving their strength from the blood of the fetuses that are aborted. See, spirits, which is true also of God, there's some relationship between them and human blood. And demons require blood sacrifices. They somehow, the blood sacrifice nourishes them. And this woman said, and I believe she's spot on, I've got to know more about this woman. That's the right kind of talk. They're deriving strength from the aborted fetuses. And we go on our way worrying about the economy. I wonder about if Goldman Sachs will prevail. It's a spur track. It's a feint. It's something to get our minds off what actually is happening. So what's going on here is, now look, it grew until it reached the host of the heavens. Now, we would think that God would never permit that. But he did. And I think it's happening now and will happen much more in the future. You say, but I'm at the right hand of God in Christ. That's where the host is. It threw some of the starry host down to the earth and trampled on them. You can find that in Revelation 12. Same thing. Stars of heaven. Who threw them down? Satan. He wouldn't throw his own angels down. He gets after the ministry. See what he does? And then he can shake 10,000 people. Here's a minister that was flourishing and people are getting saved. And Satan can get at him, trick him, and it's always on physical lust. That's where the action is today with the demons, is in sexual lust. And he gets at these Christians, men, and they... down they come. See, that's where the action is, people. It's not in the liberals and the conservatives. That's not it. That's just old-fashioned Americans struggling to preserve their way of life. It is not spiritual. So, oh, you know what alarmed me? We've got these Tea Partiers going on and everything, and these are good people, and they're rallying. You know what they're mad about? Taxes. They're not mad about the abortion. They're not mad about the sexual immorality. They're fighting for the economy. That's ungodly. That we've got things wrong in this country, and the main thing is abortion. And here they're having these huge gatherings to protect taxes. That shows you where we are as Americans. We've lost our standards. You know, it's all right if they abort the children, but boy, they better not waste our money. Can you see that? How many can see that? Can you see the error there? The folly of it? Well, good people get to see. It set itself up to be as great as the prince of the host. I noticed there was a lot of people who were, and I'm not coming down against the president is the president, and we're told not to come against the rulers of our people, because there's no one that rules people that God hasn't set up. That's what the Bible says. So we have to accept it, whether we like them or we don't. But I noticed that people were comparing Barack Obama to Christ. And he was commenting on it to the news people and everything and kind of laughing about it, but he didn't say to them, you know, Herod did that too, and we did not have a happy outcome. But comparing yourself, and there was a newsman there that said when he spoke, a newspaper, and these are hardened cynics, he said, something just went through me. So see, we've got the shadow of Antichrist casting its shadow before it. We're being set up. I don't think Barack Obama is the Antichrist, but there's things there. For example, in Daniel, it says the Antichrist will worship the God of forces, not women, not money, power. And I can see that coming, shaping up. But again, it's not the man. It's the forces that are helping him to destroy Israel and America. That's where it is. Satan's antagonism is toward Israel and America. And that is what he's going to fight, because they stand for God. And even so, we don't fight them by activism or anything else. It's in our own home, in our bedroom, in our front room. That's where our battle is, not out somewhere in Washington, D.C. Home, home, home. Get ourselves right with God and resist the temptation of the internet with all of its filth. And when you see your young people and they gravitate toward these things, naturally they're young and they're full of energy. It's going to be a terrible battle for them. And you can only go so far saying, well, you can't have a cell phone, you can't have an iPod. You're going to have to set the example. And when they're young, yes, you can. But after a while, after they get to be 18 and older, your options there are limited. So what you do is you set the example, tell them what's right and what's wrong, and then it's up to them to do it. It's up to them to do it. Once they hear what's right and what's wrong, God will judge them. Oh, yes, he judges children by their behavior. He certainly does. So what we can do is live it, and then tell them the difference between right and wrong, and after that, God will hold them responsible. How many know that God has no grandchildren? I didn't originate that. I think it was David Duplessis, but I'm not sure. God has no grandchildren. In other words, God is not going to bless your children because you're a Christian. That person is God's child. He's not God's grandchild because of you. And so you'll see them make mistakes, and you don't throw them out of the house. What you try to do is to help them learn from their mistakes and just do. If you live it, that's 90% of it. When they see my mom, my dad are not phonies, they really believe this. Eventually, they'll come around and do what's right and then help them. Don't get mad and your pride rear up on your hind legs and say, well, you done it now, get out of the house. That isn't helping anything except your pride. Do what you can. And after that, God will hold them responsible and they'll have consequences to their deeds, and you cannot shield them from it. They've got to have it. If you shield them from it, you'll cripple them. They've got to get the brunt of what they're doing. How are they going to stand when they're 20 or 30 or 40 if they don't learn now? You're not always going to be there to make sure that they don't get the brunt of the consequences of their actions. You're not going to be there. They've got to get them now and learn like you and I have learned by getting kicked in the head. At least that's the way I've learned for the most part. All right. Now this one sets itself up. You notice the strong reaction in our country against the Bible and against Jesus Christ. But L.A. spent $1.5 million on Michael Jackson's funeral. I mean, it does make one wonder. You know, oh man, it's too much for me to understand. But what I'm saying is they'll set up something other than Jesus. And those people that are set up will accept that adoration. Right? He set itself up as the Prince of the Host. That's Jesus. It took away the daily sacrifice from him, and the place of his sanctuary was brought low. Now, the day is coming when you will not be able to get saved. You will not be able to get the Holy Spirit. Now, listen to me. These are gifts from God, and he's going to allow them to be occluded, to be people to prevent them. You say it never happened. This is what it says. We think, oh, it'll always be like this, and we'll always kind of muck through. It'll come out all right. We'll sing and dance around the crystal sea. Well, we're in delusion. In the meanwhile, our kids are watching naked women on their cell phone. See, we've got our mind in the wrong direction. The media is leading us in the wrong direction. Look at this. Look at what's happening in Paraguay. Look what's happening in Yemen. Look what's happening around here. It's in your front room. It's in your bedroom. It may be in you getting up at 1 a.m. and watching pornographic films. That's where the action is. Imagine getting up, protesting about the taxes, and then getting up at 1 a.m. and watching pornography. We're deluded. And now notice, and these three words are the key to the whole thing, because of rebellion. The issue is God's will, and the Christian churches, for the most part, have never faced that. Have never faced it. I told you when I was a Christian, they told me nobody can do God's will. That's what I was taught. It's too hard, and so God has given us grace. Boy, did I have to go through a lot of cesspools to finally come to the understanding that that is the lie of the universe. Of course we can do God's will. We can do God's will perfectly for the day. And if you don't believe that, you're in dangerous ground. You're going to go around thinking, well, I can't do God's will. So what is the upshot of that? Is your life is not rock hard. What's the upshot of that? Is that you can be shaken. And that's why, that's what this is talking. Because of rebellion, the host of, and then in this translation it has in brackets, of the saints. The host of the saints. That's you. That's me. Because we did our Christian dance, but we never said to Jesus, you can run my life. Amen. We did our Christian dance, but we never said to Jesus, you can direct my life. We still got the smell of that skunk. Grace is still in the car. Somehow, it will come out. No, it won't. And if God's love is on you, you get kicked in the head until you get rid of that. And if his love is not on you, it'll be delayed until it's too late. So thank God for your afflictions. Thank God for your troubles. Thank God for your frustrations, because all these things are to bring you to the place to say, your will be done and not mine. But I'm a Christian, but I want to minister. That's the wrong thing. I'm going to put on my administrative hat. That's the wrong thing. But the kingdom is here and we can exercise power. Listen to me. That's the wrong thing. We. There's only one administrator of the kingdom of God, and it isn't you and it isn't me. And that's Jesus. And he has not given us power so we can use it. What? Maybe it wasn't clear. He has not given us power so we can use it. He waits to see what we'll do with it. And the only right thing to do with any gift is to bring it to the feet of Jesus and say, what would you have me to do? But to say that we've got the powers of the age to come now, the kingdom, let's go out and take the world for God, that's Antichrist. And it's prevalent in the Christian ministry, this stuff. And people hear it, and they say, yay, rah, rah, and they put their money in the offering, and they go out home, and there's nothing they can do about it, because it doesn't work. The truth is, but the right thing they can do. They can go home and say, Lord, what would you have me do this evening? What would you have me do tomorrow morning? What would you have me do at breakfast? What would you have me do at lunch? What would you have me do all day? Where do you want me to go to school? Where should I be working? Where should I be living? Everything to Jesus. Anything else, dear souls, is rebellion. That's the issue from the days of Adam and Eve. The entire Christian church is in rebellion against God. Now, I know there are notable exceptions, but boy, are they few and far between. You listen to the preaching and see who's the administrator. And you'll find out that it's you. You're to go out. You're to go out. The harvest is ready. You're to go out and take your gifts. The people don't do it. They can't. They don't have the grace to do it. Oh, well, I knew you'd like that. Because of rebellion, the host of the saints and the daily sacrifice were given over to it. Who's it? Well, I'll tell you this. It isn't Jesus. And it isn't God the Father. And it isn't the Holy Spirit. And it isn't the elect angels. And it isn't Michael. And it isn't Gabriel. And it isn't Melchizedek. So who do you think it is? It's the evil. But God will give the saints over to the evil? Absolutely. So I never heard such a thing. I'll go to church where they tell me how God loves me and is going to rapture me up into heaven so I won't suffer. And I don't blame you. That's just human nature. You've got to have the stuff. You've got to have God in you if you're going to stand under the preaching you're going to be hearing. Because I'm telling you, things are just starting to simmer. Because evil is afoot. And people are praying that know God and realize that. And so the average church member, he won't know what in the world is going on. Till finally he says, I don't know what's going on. The jello's too cold in the nursing home. Because of rebellion, the host of the saints and the daily sacrifice. The daily sacrifice is the morning and evening lamb. Every morning and every evening, a lamb was sacrificed outside of the tent. And then inside the tent, at the same time, the wine was poured out next to the altar of incense, poured out on the floor of the holy place. Every morning, every night. Every morning, every night. That's called the daily lamb. The morning and evening lamb. Now, what do you think that means to us as Christians? What have I taught you about the blood of Christ? Every time you choose right and resist Satan, what happens in the spirit world? God gives you to drink of the blood of the Lamb and to eat his flesh. Isn't that what I have taught you? Mm-hmm. The morning and evening lamb. That will be taken away. In other words, people will be praying, but they won't understand why God doesn't hear them. They won't feel the presence of God. You say, could it happen? Well, the Bible says so. And this evil prospered in everything it did. And what was thrown to the ground? What? That's the issue, people. That's the issue. Not power. God has all power. The issue is truth. And the battle today is for truth. And that's why the prevalence of the media is so significant. There's never been the amount of communication among people and to people in the history of mankind than is true today. That the whole world is being made one by giving common thought through the media. And it's all a lie. The whole thing is a lie. And what is being preached in the churches? Rapture, eternal residence in heaven. God sees you through Christ. Here somebody is sitting watching pornography on the internet and believing that God is seeing the holiness of Jesus and having fellowship with the man while he's watching the pornography. That's what's being taught. Faith alone. Faith alone. Eternal residence in heaven. A rapture immediately. That's what's being taught. Now, you tell me, is that truth? How do you know? Because I said so? How do you know? Huh? Because it's contrary to the scriptures. If the church is being taught lies and the media is telling us lies, where is the truth? It ain't. And that's why America is facing the problems that it is. I don't care whether it's the military, education, financial, everywhere you look, what you see is destruction. It's because truth has been thrown to the ground. And the church is the only possible source of truth. And I know there are exceptions. There are marvelous exceptions. But by and large, across the nation, what people are hearing this morning is, don't worry, God sees you through Christ. He wants you to have a happy life. There's nothing to worry about. The rapture's on the horizon before anything really bad happens. Just be sure that when you go out, you get a cup of coffee at the coffee bar. And the media is hollering. And what are the young warriors? What are they going to believe? So, brother, sister, in the worst of times, we read in Joel, second chapter, it shall come to pass in the last days that I'll pour out my spirit upon your sons and your daughters, and they shall prophesy. And in Mount Zion there shall be deliverance, and in the remnant whom the Lord shall call. There's a remnant today, and they know what's going on. And you can be part of that. But don't get confused with what's going on in the media, because that's only a smokescreen. It's evil princes that God is allowing because of Christians watching comedians mocking God at the late night shows. Christian people not realizing there's anything wrong with this. And God looks down and he says, where is the truth? Where's the truth? I think I'll depart from America, and they'll find out why they were blessed. It wasn't because of democracy, and it wasn't because of freedom of speech. It was because there was God-fearing people, hard-working people in this country, and they made it great. And God says they don't realize that anymore. They mock the farmer standing there with his daughter or whatever she was with the pitchfork. Everything is a mockery. All the American values are a mockery. It's happening in England, too. The young people are saying the Bible isn't relevant, blah, 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 blah. And God says, okay, England, okay, America, I'll withdraw. And then you'll find out why at one time you were prosperous. I can't control that, but my burden this morning is, again, the devil is trying to deceive us, and he's trying to deceive the young people. And that's where our attention must be, not on the Democrats, the liberals. That is not where it is. It's our young people are our responsibility, aren't they? Are they? They don't know from squat. They think they know everything. The young people think they're masters of their destiny and know everything that's in the Encyclopedia Britannica, and the truth is they know hardly anything, because the price that you pay for wisdom is experience. It's probably the brightest generation that's ever been. There's some real prodigies coming out now among young people. One 10-year-old was talking about how he could solve this cube because he had to stop. It took him 3 seconds to solve this cube that nobody can solve. 10 years old, because he says, I had to remember all the algorithms. And Audrey says to me, what is an algorithm? I said, I forgot. I knew it one time, I forgot. Bill could tell you. 10 years old. What's the name of that cube? He solves that in 3 seconds. He takes time to think of all the algorithms. 10 years old. There's others. There's a girl that has visions of heaven, and she's painting them, and they're marvelous. And she also is a preteen. So there are very extraordinary children being born. So it's up to you and me with our own little nest and our own little group of children, whoever they are, make sure that we don't get bemused with what's going on in the world, and pay attention to what's coming in through the cell phones and the iPods and the internet and the media, because Satan's right there to pump it into them. And you're not going to forever be able to stop them. So you've got to set the example, tell them what's right and wrong, and then it's up to them. That's only fair, because there's a lot of kids in the world that have no instruction. Amen. Well, I delivered my soul, with a burning thing in me was this danger. That's why it says, work out your salvation with fear and trembling, not with confidence, fear and trembling, because Satan is so skillful at deluding us. And that's my burden this morning. Watch it, because things are going to heat up. Shall we stand? Boy, if you wanted a pastor that made everything comfy, cozy, you sure didn't get one. All right, I have to stand before Christ, but I go out of here every time. I say, Lord, was that what you wanted? Was it exactly what you wanted? Is there anything I didn't do right? Show me, please, so I can correct everything. I go through all these agonies. That's why I get paid so much, is to go through all these agonies about giving to you what Christ wants. All right, so Lord, hallelujah. What do I feel in my spirit this morning? Hey, guys. Come on, we've all got to come up and we've got to pray. It's heating up. It's heating up at a very high level. It's heating up at a very high level. Come on. Come hither.
I about jumped out of my skin when Bill said, it's for the strong today, and that's what God had put on my heart. I figured, well, he's delivered the message and I don't have to. But there's an addition to it. So I speak to the strong in our midst. Those who have a ready answer for their God and concerning their God. Oh, Tama, know that in the days to come, your God has prayed for you, because Satan has requested to sift you, has requested to challenge you. Do not faint. Know your God has and is praying for you. Know that you will come through refined and more usable for the Master. Yama. Do not apply your spiritual knowledge to every circumstance that comes. For even though you have gained much wisdom and are strong in the Lord, there is much you still do not understand. Know and welcome. Do not say you welcome, but welcome. For you have proclaimed him the God of the universe. You have proclaimed him your God. You have desired to build monuments in his name and unto him that people can see. And he said, no, it will be as has been preached this day. It will be in your home and in your heart. This will be the monument. This will be the wisdom. This will be the display. Kiyama. Oh, Rabashaya. Oh, Rabashaya. Oh, Rabashaya. We submit to you this day, to your dealings, and we receive, Lord, that you have and are praying for us.
Amen. Anyone else? Lord, we're thankful that you're praying for us. We're thankful for that, Lord. I know that you are. I know that you are. And I know that you see where we are and what's happening. So, Lord, in Jesus' name, help us, each one of us, to turn aside from the bemusements and the distractions of the world and focus on Jesus. Help us to do that today, Lord, so that we know what it is you want and are doing it. Grant it, Lord. And then I know that we can stand and rejoice. It doesn't matter what happens, because the action is in our home. The action is in our hearts. And whatever the world does. But the angel of the Lord camps around those who fear him and delivers them. So, Lord, help us not to be distracted by what's going on this day, no matter what it is, in the government or any place else, but to watch our family, watch our home, and be in prayer constantly that we not be deceived. I pray in Jesus' name. That's it for me. Anybody else? That's what God told me to tell you. Okay, Lord bless. You can pray at the altar if you want to, or leave, or stand, or do whatever.